I have a file of all the talks that I've given, especially the good ones. And every once in a while, if I'm looking, as I did this week for a meditation, I go through the files. And I happen to come upon one with a great opening line. It has nothing to do with what I'm going to be talking about today, but I just thought it was just one of those things that if you've been in this church for a long time, you may remember. It starts off by saying, "Last week, Herb Clyens undressed in this pulpit. He took off his tie, his jacket, and his shirt and stripped down to his underwear. He tried to get Josh to join him, but Josh wasn't having any of it. He was talking about change in cultures and change in the how we dress and how we visualize our church. And it was a very hard act to follow. I was talking the next week. Well, I'm going to be talking about change today, but I'm not going to undress. And I'm not going to be talking about the kind of change that Herb talked about. I'm going to be talking about the changes that we're seeing in nature. And even though it's a beautiful winter, snowy day, I'd like you to think maybe that you're in the spring and you're thinking about planting your garden. As recently as last Wednesday, and again on Friday, I thought about taking the ice studs off my boots. It's not something that you can do on the fly, which is what I started to do when I realized I needed really to be sitting. They're called stabilizers by L.L. Bean, and over the years, they've improved how they work more and more so that you really have to be sitting and use some strength to get them off your boots. So I didn't get them off my boots on Wednesday. It was close to 7 in the morning, and it was light out. And the ice on the driveway was almost gone for the first time in months, and we had just seen about 6 or 8 doe for the first time in months. And the path around the information center at the lake was relatively ice-free also. The dogs gleefully checked all their P.O. boxes for signs and messages. We heard the birds, and because it seemed spring and welcoming, that time in between winter and mud season, and my fingers stayed warmer, we walked our usual 2 miles rather than the abbreviated version we walk on mornings like today when it's -3 and cold and icy. I'm glad I didn't take the studs off. Just as I was leaving for an appointment in Erie on Wednesday, it started to snow, and we got about 4 inches. And another 6 by yesterday. Our driveway is again a little icy. The roads are a little icy and snow covered. The studs came in handy this morning. Try saying stabilizers more than once quickly. That's why I call them studs. For those of you who do not know, we live in Tynesta on a good morning about an hour away. Today, it was about an hour and a half. We live on the edge of the Allegheny Forest. We have about 27 acres, most of it wooded, with about 5 acres of house, garden, and lawn. I'm also the immediate past president of the Garden Club Federation of Pennsylvania, a 5,000-member federation of 113 garden clubs throughout the state. And I'm on the board of the National Garden Club, one of the largest volunteer organizations in the world. We have members in the 50 states, in the District of Columbia, Central and South America, and as far away as Australia and New Zealand. Most of our last 2 years of meetings have been on Zoom. And walking the dogs at dawn a salvation of sorts. Tyonesta is home to a flood control dam along the Allegheny River, Tyonesta Lake, and has several campgrounds and walking trails that park ranger and the Corps of Engineers have taken care of for more than 80 years. Along with Kinzua, Tyonesta prevents the Allegheny from flooding more than the wharf areas of Pittsburgh. The lake, where the dogs and I walk in the morning, is the man-made heart of the flood control system in Tyonesta, and has a marina in the summer, and usually in the spring. In the spring, this area is allowed to flood. Lately, though, ice shards have been hung high in the trees at the edge of the parking areas, evidence of how high the water has been the last 2 months. I've often spoken about my early morning walks with the dogs, how spiritual it is for me to watch the sun come up, how the light changes from day to day, all the adventures we have with the various residents of the forest. I'm amazed the crows have gotten so used to us walking that they pay little attention and go on with whatever they are doing. So too the deer. As long as the tails of the dogs don't wag and they don't make a move to play, the deer just stand there and we can walk by without being bothered. One time a fox kept running ahead of us, barking, presumably keeping us away from her kits. I didn't know a fox barked. Curious, mine didn't bark. We found a newborn fawn once. It was sleeping quite near the road, and I worried that the groundskeepers would run it over as they mowed. We told the rangers, who made sure everyone knew where the fawn was. I learned that day that it was dropped or born right where we found it, and that a newborn fawn does not have a scent that will attract predators, and that it would sleep for 5 or 7 hours before it tested its legs and got up to walk and feed from mom, who must have been close by. One time, River, the only one of our dogs who swam, was in the creek and got chased by a beaver. But times change. Many things, even in a forest curated to protect wildlife and provide recreational opportunities, without attention, the creek that River swam in has become more mud than water, and the beavers are gone. The fox, too, has moved on, and in its stead, we have rabbits, which drive the dogs crazy. We haven't seen the fox, and have you noticed fewer bees, hummingbirds, or other pollinators around your house? Recently, I met Doug Tallamy. Dr. Tallamy is a professor in the Department of Entomology and Wildlife Ecology at the University of Delaware, where he has taught for 32 years. Doug is the guiding force behind a grassroots call to action to bolster the work of our national park system to regenerate biodiversity and ecosystem function. The National Park Service was created in 1916, a little over 100 years ago, but 44 years after Yellowstone, which has been around for 150 and is the world's oldest national park. 30 years after Yellowstone was founded, they had to send in the army because there was illegal poaching and a lot of exploitation. So the national park system has been modeled on the example the Army set to preserve and protect the park for the benefit and enjoyment of people. The Park Service now oversees 63 national parks, and that includes Allegheny National Forest and other national forests and memorials like the Liberty Bell in Philadelphia and the Mall area in DC. But our national park system, which preserves sanctuaries and green park areas, make up less than 12% of land areas, too small to be the major players needed to sustain natural life. The Corps at Tionesta last fall dredged the creek at Tionesta, allowing water to return, but it's too soon to tell whether frogs, fish, or the beaver will. Dr. Tallamy tells us that we are at a critical point of losing so many species from local ecosystems that their ability to produce oxygen, clean water, flood control, think beaver, pollination, pest control, carbon storage, etc., that is the ecosystem services that sustain us, will become seriously compromised. So, how do we as individuals help to regenerate biodiversity and ecosystem function, one garden at a time? Doug is behind a collective effort of individual homeowners, property owners, land managers, farmers, and anyone with some soil to plant, the largest cooperative conservation effort ever conceived. It's called Homegrown National Park. Look it up at homegrownnationalpark.org. Its goal is 20 million acres of native plantings in the U.S. That's one half of green lawns on privately owned property. Sounds rather overwhelming to think that in the past we've asked one thing of our gardens, that they be pretty. Now we are asking that they support life, sequester carbon, feed pollinators, and manage water. Overwhelming, or quite simply small efforts by many. Here's how small efforts can help. Plant a tree, an oak, or a maple. Add a bird bath to your garden. Create layered planting or border of native trees, bushes, and grasses. Plant milkweed. Strawberries in a container, black-eyed Susan, sunflower, violet, lupine, geranium, columbine, all of these are native plants in Pennsylvania. Encourage ponds. Make a meadow. Even a small 10 by 10 foot area will do. We can do this. We can covenant one person at a time, one native plant at a time. Turn your lights out at night, that helps the fireflies. Use LED yellow bulbs, save a moth's life. I'm probably preaching to the choir here. I would wager, without knowing about homegrown national parks, each of you have done something to encourage biodiversity in your own garden or balcony. But look it up. We can covenant. We can do this, and we can help not only the ecosystem, but climate. Who would think that we would have a snowstorm like we had yesterday in the middle of March? Okay. And after all is said and done, how auspicious that we have designated this month the French Creek Conservancy is our Share the Plate recipient. The Conservancy is a partner with Homegrown National Parks and is well known for the remarkable biodiversity it has created over its existence. In a short list, French Creek is home to 27 species of mussels, 12 species of darters, which is a fish, four nationally designated bird areas, and along its banks you may even find the elusive, showy lady slipper. So, right here in Meadville, we've got things for homegrown national parks started. Well done. So, will the